Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is a good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is a Friday morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome in. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. How do you do, America? What up, South Carolina? Howdy, world. Welcome in. Great to be with you one more time again. The four most electrifying hours in sports talk entertainment you're going to find anywhere, at least this early in the morning, is the Rob Brown Show. I am Rob Brown, the great one. Alonzo on the ones and twos this a.m. bringing you the juice, the gas, the energy, the excitement, the electricity every single day of the week.
Can we not bring the gas? I mean, we can bring the juice. Let's not bring the gas.
Not that kind of gas.
Okay, because, you know. Your video is not working, by the way.
Yeah, just everything over here is shut down right now. There's like a loose connection.
And I just talked again. That's two. Well, you know, I had a good run.
It's early.
Run for a while.
You know, I'm
a couple of ties, which are wins.
Yep.
And then
you went back to back a couple of weeks ago.
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
You're good. You're hanging in there.
Hopefully, my loss this week is not a sign of things to come for me.
I just love that as soon as there's like anything, Lonzo's like, that's it. I'm out. I'm done. I'm cooked. I'm Russell Wilson. I'm done.
Oh, here's the thing. So you think you won? You could have a really bad day.
I could. I just said that. It's early in the day.
I'm using psychology. You're acting like I'm not using psychology.
For those of you that are maybe perhaps potentially new to the show, new to the Armada, Lonzo and I have a little internal competition on the daily where we keep track, as we are obviously professionals, both in charge of our own microphones. We keep track on the daily of how many times one of us goes to speak without turning our microphone on first, and that's our little weekly competition. The winner pays the loser $500 weekly, and neither of us has ever made a profit on this game. So if you ever tune into a segment and you hear one of us just say a number randomly as the first thing that we say when we crack the mic, that's what we're doing. We're keeping track of, I forgot to turn my mic on that time. The score for this week so far, but it is just 6:03 on Friday, meaning there are still 11 segments after this one that I completely could bleep it up. Lonzo is currently down in a 2-0 hole for this week.
If you're watching on stream, because we are live on all the streaming platforms, you will notice excessive celebration when one or the other messes up.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. Like a
lot of money riding on it.
It is more competitive than your local pickup basketball game. Okay? It is competitive. For the record, nobody pays the other with an L. That part's a joke. It's more of a pride aspect to the game. It's more of a, hey, look at me, I out-professionaled you in the dumbest possible way this week kind of thing. So if you tune in and you hear one of us go, two, that's what's happening, all right? It's Lonzo and I being unprofessional children at the office is what it is. Because they let us do that.
We're not being unprofessional. We are doing what's accepted and expected in the profession that we chose.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. We're just keeping track of who forgets to do the most basic thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have forgotten to turn my microphone on. I am self-reporting, and I apologize. I'm not good at my job. Go to NPR. I mean, you know.
All right, we got a lot we got to get to. It is not just Friday. Got to get down on Friday, ladies and gentlemen. There is more to it than that. It is not just Friday, got to get down on Friday. I mean, it is that. But it is also Friday, got to get down on Friday, and we're off Monday. Three-day weekend, or as Lonzo and I like to call it, a weekend.
A weekend, yes.
Because Lonzo hosts on Saturday evenings the Upstate Pulse on our brother station, 98.9 WORD, the pop culture show for nerds in the Upstate. And I host a little show called Bet for the Cycle every Saturday from noon to 4 here on the BitQL Network and on Fine Odyssey stations everywhere, where Cody Decker and I, former Major League Baseball player Cody Decker and I, just walk you through all the sports in a little show we like to call Wagertainment. But when we get a Monday off, Lonzo and I get 2 days off, back to back.
That's very
strange. Happens like six times a year. It's a lovely feeling.
As MJF would say, it's what the normies get to enjoy all the time.
Correct. And so we are off on Monday. The only issue with that is that Monday is a very big day on the old sports calendar. Because Monday evening, Lonzo's Ohio State University Buckeyes are going to be squaring off.
The Ohio State. Yeah, the.
I'm not. You know what? I think I've landed on, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Why are you guys the only state university that does that?
We've had this discussion because there's also an Ohio University. So you have to say the Ohio State University so you don't get confused with that other Ohio University.
It's
for clarification purposes.
Every state has a blank state university and none of the other ones say, we trademarked the. No, you didn't. No, you can't trademark the.
Well, they didn't. They tried.
They did try.
Which I still think is hilarious that they tried.
Oh, like, don't get me wrong. Absolute credit for the troll job.
Yeah, I was going to say, you think of a totally different. That's exactly what it was.
Doesn't mean I have to be like, oh, well, it was a funny gag, so I'm in. No, I'm not. It's still dumb. I still don't like it. All right? I still don't like it. That being said.
Lonzo like dumb things.
No. Buckeyes like dumb things. Theirs different. Why did I keep going with that shtick?
There is different.
Why did I go with that? There was no need to keep going with that shtick. Monday night, Ohio State University takes on the Notre Dame Fighting Irish to crown the 2024-2025 NCAA College Football National Champions. Now, as I said just mere moments ago, Zoe and I are off on Monday. There is no show on Monday morning, as we pay our respects to Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on Monday. No show Monday morning. You know what that means? This show is not just Friday's show. This show is also Monday's show. It's two shows for the price of one.
Wait a minute.
But wait, that's too much show. More.
That's too much show, man. We can't do that. That's too much show.
Today's show is Friday's show. This show is Monday's show, and since Monday is National Championship Day here in these great United States of America, that means today's show is Friday's show, Monday's show, and our college football national championship preview show. Yay! Pretty excited about all of that. So, coming up on the radio broadcast today, we will dive into football. We'll spend a little time on football. We will then progress and do at least a segment or two of football. And then the highlight of the show, the topic I am most looking forward to chatting with you all about in the final couple of segments of the show, football.
That's too much. We should charge them. You can't give all that away for free.
Not only can I, Billy Mays here. I will. I'm crazy here at Big Rob Sports Talk Emporium. These deals are crazy. Buy 4 hours of Sports Talk Radio for the price of zero. Would you rather be Billy Mays or ShamWow Guy? I feel like ShamWow Guy was more famous, but the time was short.
ShamWow Guy got his lip bit off by a prostitute.
He did.
So I'd rather be Billy Mays.
He did. He did get his lip bit by a lady of the evening.
Apparently she stretched it pretty far when she did it, too, talking about his lip.
Do you think if it started bleeding, do you think he, like, applied pressure with a ShamWow? That wouldn't work, right? Like, the whole premise of the ShamWow was that it moved the liquid.
Yeah, that would not work.
Well, no. Was the ShamWow absorbent, or was it, like, I don't remember, because it's been so long since I've, you know, seen a ShamWow, which at one point was like the number one product in America, point blank.
Did you buy a ShamWow?
Owned a ShamWow. Now, I didn't order it off the TV.
Okay. Did you go to the mall and go to the As Seen on TV?
The As Seen on TV store, okay?
Like, you can't go to the mall and not go in that store.
For the record, this was a very long time ago. This was back, obviously, when I was on my old station back down in Florida. But, great one, my old show back down in Florida was every bit, if not more nerdy, than the show that we do now. And one of the things that myself and my old producer, Bill, Dollar Bill, one of the things that we used to do was we would go to the As Seen on TV store and we would genuinely purchase and try out products. We honestly, this was in the early days of YouTube. Right? This was when YouTube was really kind of getting it started. This was back in the Charlie Bit Me days, all right? If you know what I'm talking about there, make an appointment with your proctologist. It's
Charlie.
Time. Okay? Back in the Charlie Bit Me early days of YouTube, Dollar Bill and I were, this was back when I was, you know, ambitious and stuff. So back when I was ambitious and stuff.
You put away those childish ways.
Very long time ago. I'm a grown-up now. I realize that the world is going to beat me down into a pulp, and there's not a damn thing I can do about it. But back when I had hopes and dreams.
Then you got to get up the next day and deal with it all over again.
Back when I had hopes and dreams and aspirations and all that, which was, again, a very long time ago. Back when I had those things, Dollar Bill and I, We were going to start a YouTube channel, great one, where we just did reviews of, TV, late night infomercial products. And so we went for the ShamWow. And I got to tell you.
You do that now, there's going to be a lot of little blue pill type things that you would have to be testing. You probably don't want to do that. Or maybe you do. I don't know.
What's up, guys? It's your boy, Rob. I'm here at the doctor's office. I was at home for 4 hours, and they told me to call him. 5 out of 5 stars, would recommend. Oh, ow. What was that?
Really?
I'm not proud of that one.
That's got to be.
I'm not proud.
That's got to be the worst thing you've ever done.
I suspect I'm going to get in trouble for that one.
Oh,
later.
No, it's 6:13.
It's early enough. I'm probably good. Yeah, I'm probably good. anyway.
I don't know what you accidentally hit yourself. You drop stuff all the time, and I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah, man, I was just fumbling my pen, and I tried to catch it.
It happens.
You know how it goes. All right. But I don't know how in the world. The only sports talk show in the world that's going to get you 13 minutes into football and then switch to ShamWows. But, you know, we're out here. We're men of the people. We are men of the people. So, we have got college football and NFL for you. The national championship game on Monday. The NFL's divisional round coming up today. Later on in the show, I was watching, you know, again, when I'm sitting at the crib with nothing to do, and unfortunately right now there's a lot of sitting at the crib. While I'm sitting at the crib with nothing to do, one of the things that I will do is just scroll podcast, vlogs, Do we still call them vlogs? Vlogs, whatever. And just collect takes. Just collect takes and see what I like and what I don't, what we want to address and what we don't, and you know, start to form my own opinion about those takes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so yesterday, I was scrolling around looking at some takes. And one of the takes that I came across was one from CBS Sportsline, where one of their hosts, Mike McClure, said there's all this conversation about fixing the NFL playoffs. There's all this conversation about fixing the NFL playoffs. And, you know, last week we had that conversation, and I was like, you know, I don't know if it needs to be fixed. And now it may still not be. But we do know one thing, which is the TV ratings in week number one were down 10% from last year. And so we had a little bit of a conversation about why that is. And I did. There was a text that came in that I did not see until after the show was over on our text line at 844-326-3663. There was a text that came in that I did not see until after the show was over. And the text basically said, Rob, look at the bracket from last year and look at the bracket this year. It was just a more entertaining playoffs last year. It felt like we had better teams. It felt like there were better narratives. And I'm paraphrasing. He didn't throw all this in the text, but you kind of got the vibe. He said, look at the bracket last year. Look at the bracket this year. Last year's bracket was just more compelling, especially in round number one of this year. It wasn't super compelling. Like, what matchups were compelling? Not good. Compelling. Was Chargers-Texans something you felt the need to go out of the way for? And I wanted to be like, yeah, dude, I'm a fan. But then I realized my buddy, my old frat bro who lives out in Seattle that I haven't seen in like 14 years, he called me and he was like, dude, why don't you come up to Asheville on Saturday? Let's go out, check out a couple of breweries. I got a couple of days in town. And the first thought that I had, and I say this so my wife knows she's not alone, the first thought I had was, do I go do that, dude? There's playoff football on. And then I was like, oh, it's Chargers-Texans, right? I'm probably catch up with that later on. I can watch that on the DVR when I get back to the house. And it ends up, that's exactly what I did. It's exactly what I did. So I don't think that that's an unfair take. And he said last year's bracket was different. So I think that the conversation we're going to have today, which is there a way to fix the playoff? I've got one thought on it. May become irrelevant if football this weekend is really good. Now, again, Baltimore-Buffalo is the answer. Outside of that, which game in these playoffs is must-see TV? Cannot miss it. Doesn't matter what you got going on. Skip your child's first birthday party to stay home and watch this game. Levels of good. Ravens-Bills is, to me, the only one in the public eye.
All right, I don't get why people are saying this. Usually it doesn't get really good to the championship games. It's just like that every year. You get some blowouts, you get a good game here or there, but they're not all going to be good games. That's not how it works.
I don't disagree. What games have we had so far that was good? We've had one. We've had one game in the first round that was good. We had six games. There was one good one. Commanders-Buccaneers. Every other game was not good. I agree with you. You're going to have blowouts in football. I don't care if it's a 12-team, 16-team, 42-team, or two-team. Occasionally, you're going to have a blowout. But when there's five of them and one good game, something's got to be said. Something's got to be done. And I don't know that the playoff format is going to encourage or discourage any of that, or if it's just a matter of how do you make some teams that stink stop to stink so much?
There's these joyless individuals are really going to have a problem in about a month when football's over. And then they'll look back and go, oh, it really wasn't that bad. You know, it was pretty good. It was fairly entertaining.
I mean, I guess if you want to call me the most energetic man in sports talk radio, a joyless loser, have at it. But I don't think it's joyless to say the first round wasn't, like, it wasn't great.
All right, you said you looked at last year's matchups. Name the good games in the first round last year.
Green Bay at Dallas.
Who cares?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
I don't. Not only do I not care, but it's not memorable.
What do you mean it's not memorable? See, it's literally in the 5 years we've had a seven team, it is the only seven team to win. In 5 years of having a 7 team on both bracket, they are the only 7 seed to win a game so far.
Did the winner of that game win in the next
round?
No,
they got their asses kicked the next round.
But
as the 7 seed...
Two really bad teams played, but it was entertaining. Okay.
As the 7 seed, they went to Dallas and they knocked off the 2nd seed in the NFC. Yes, that's compelling to me.
Yeah, but it was Dallas. It's not really compelling.
Still the 2 seed.
It's expected.
The 2 seed. Like, even if it's a narrative game, it's still the 2 seed. All right, we're gonna circle back around to this because I do want to make this a segment for you. Here's what I'm gonna tell you right now. Our text poll of the day is up and running, and today's very simple. Who you got? Ohio State or Notre Dame? Text 844-326-3663 and begin the text with either Irish or Buckeyes. 844-326-3663. Text the show with either Irish or text the show Buckeyes. Who is winning the Natty on Monday? When we come back, we'll set that up. We'll keep this NFL playoff discussion going. Busy day on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Rob Lonzo and you here on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Phone line is open. Text line is open. They are the same line. 844-326-3663. 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E is the number. If you'd like to be a part of the show, we would certainly love to have you here on the radio broadcast this lovely Friday. Got to get down on Friday. Text poll of the day is a very simple one. The question of the day is, who you got? Who you got? The Ohio State Buckeyes, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. 844-326-3663. Save that number as a contact in your phone. That way you can text us anytime you want, and you can just pop in the Fan Upstate. 844-326-3663. You are going to, let's make it real simple today, text one of two words in order to participate in today's poll question of the day. You can text Irish or you can text Buckeyes. Those are your two voting options. To the person who during the break texted Meteor, that's actually really funny. That's actually a really funny text. That's it. You know what? Hang on. I'm good with that one.
I'm curious if that person will still be watching.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think even if you are rooting against both teams, it's still the college football national championship game. It is the last college football game that we are getting for, what, 260 some odd days, 270 some odd days? Yeah. Yeah, I'm watching every second.
Texter, you've already put your orange away. You did that a little while ago. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy what could be a good game. And root against Ohio State. You know you're going to. That's why this poll is going to end up being Notre Dame.
In one segment, you're up 4-0. Four Buckeyes, zero Irish so far.
Clemson people ain't up yet.
I got you. Yeah, they are.
No.
Ain't they got cows to milk and stuff?
Yeah, but they're in the ones that do are out in the field.
So they are up.
Okay.
They're
all right. I was wrong. You were right.
You'll get used to that. Anyway.
How many years have we been to? Okay. Anyway.
So, who you got? 844-326-3663. This one's simple. Text Buckeyes or text Irish. Who do you got on Monday night? I have already said I'm taking the Buckeyes in this one. There's a couple of things here that I have to go with. The first is, do you know what has served me very well in these playoffs? This is something that I have done in these playoffs after I got my ass handed to me in the first round. I thought the first round was going to be wildly compelling. I thought we had a couple of potential, nay, probable upsets that were going to go. I picked UT over Ohio State. Turns out I, along with most everyone in America, was very wrong about the Buckeyes. Turns out they're the best team in the country, or at least playing like it right now. I thought Tennessee was going to go in there and beat them. I thought SMU would at least show up in the first round. Instead, we had multiple blowouts in the first round. So I switched my picking philosophy in the second round. My picking philosophy in the second round became just pick the better team, right? Just pick the better team.
How does that usually work out for you? I know it sounds logical.
Well, and here's where I wanted to go with it. I think for a lot of people, and this is a spot that a lot of people have a conflict over. And it's a conversation we have. It's a phrase that we use ordinarily and normally when we are going through the selection process, right? Like who should get in and who should not. But I think for me, I go back to the question that I asked when we had that conversation about who should be in and who should not. If you say, oh, the best four teams, Rob, who should we get in? The best four teams. Great. I need you, when you tell me who your best four teams are, I need you to tell me the reasoning behind it, not just say, these are the best four. Because I don't accept eye test as a primary. I will accept it as a part of the conversation. For instance, picking Ohio State to beat Oregon was largely based on the fact that Ohio State dismissed Tennessee with such prejudice. But there were other reasons to have picked Ohio State. If you pick the Buckeyes in that, and I'll keep it a buck. That's the one game I got wrong in the second round. Only game I got wrong in the second round, if I recall correctly. I thought I picked Oregon over Ohio State. I said, okay, good win over Tennessee, but this is a different breed of cat. That was a two-loss SEC team. Now they are not on the road, but pretty much on the road against the consensus, no questions asked, number one team in the college football playoffs. And I got that one wrong. And if I had gone eye test based on what we had seen the week before and the fact that we had not seen the Oregon Ducks in a hot minute, I'd have probably been better off, right? I'd have been better off. So because of that, I think for me, I look at this situation And I have to ask the question, what do you base these selections on? I have based it on this in the second round, in the semifinals, and on to the next round. Lonzo, I very simply looked at the offensive rankings. I have looked at the defensive rankings. I have looked at those rankings and said, where do they average out on the national scale? And then put that into the best of my ability, the context with strength of schedule being considered. And the reality of this situation is that it's kind of tough to do that with Ohio State, because Ohio State is a team that, do we agree that Ohio State looks like a different football team now than they did the back, even with the wins back in, say, week 8?
The way the team is, it's still the same team. They have a different fire to them.
That's what I'm asking. I'm not talking about, is it a different set of players? I'm saying
they definitely have a different fire to them.
This team, this Ohio State team,
they've always had the capability and you know, best team money could buy and all that stuff that people have been saying. They've always had the capabilities, and the chemistry was there. There was just something missing, and but they have found the fire. And whether it's rallying behind their coach or naysayers or whatever, they found a fire, and now they do look different.
I think so. Right now, I would also say this. I go back and I look at the regular season. The games they had that were close on the road at number one Oregon, 32-31 loss. The Nebraska game, 21-17, they win that game. That game was much closer than you'd like. But I also point out, I think this is a Nebraska team under Matt Rhule that is going to be competing for some big prizes very soon under Matt Rhule. I think, and I don't know if we want to blame the portal or NIL or whatever, but I think the expectations that Matt Rhule was just going to show up and this team was going to be, you know, smoking chumps out of the gate. Nah, it's going to take a couple of years. Right? Like, Matt Rhule didn't D on the team and show up with 31 transfer portal players right out of the gate. Matt Rhule showed up, and it's going to take a little bit of time for him to get his philosophy, his system, whatever. So I don't think that loss is as bad as it looks. You had a 7-point win over Penn State, and I think a lot of people are going, wait a minute, James Franklin kept this one close until the stretch. Yeah, well, it turns out maybe Penn State was pretty good. Maybe they're pretty good. College football playoff semifinal. Maybe they're pretty good. And then you had the loss to Michigan, which was the misnomer, right? That was the misnomer. That was the game that I think you look at and you go, I don't know, like, what went wrong? And we came in here and we've obviously had a lot of conversation about what went wrong for Ohio State in that game. I have given you my thoughts on it. I think Chip Kelly screwed the pooch. But it also clicked into a different gear for the Buckeyes. What I'm not going to sit here and do is pretend that Ohio State was unimpressive in the regular season. I don't think they ever jumped off the page as like a natty front runner during the season. But we're not going to pretend like they weren't impressive. And if you go look at the offensive and defensive rankings of Ohio State and Notre Dame, Ohio State's better. They're just better on paper, statistically, empirically speaking. They are on paper a better football team. And then I go look at Notre Dame. Yeah, they beat a Texas A&M team by 10 to open the season. But number one, and this is, I know this is kind of poo-pooed, and that's okay. I don't particularly get super jacked up about week one games, even if they are on the road. I mean, it's a good win. I'm not trying to dismiss the win. But very few teams not coached by Nick Saban are anywhere close in week one to what they're going to ultimately end up being. So it's a good win. You lost to NIL in week two. Why? Because Notre Dame was nowhere close to becoming what they were going to be at the end of the year. But then they put up 66 on Purdue. They beat number 15 Louisville. They beat a Georgia Tech team that took Georgia to 6 overtimes. And put up, what, almost 700 yards of offense. They are the reason Navy finished the year unranked. They caught a break in Florida State. They hung a 50-burger on them. They are the reason Army was unranked. It's a pretty good team. But I would argue that if you're making the argument, as I have, this is not me backing off of it, it's just making a point. If you're making the argument that the Big Ten is not as good as it's been made out to be by some excellent public relations firms, it's not really like Notre Dame was running a gauntlet either. And so I think they're pretty fairly comparable schedules. If anything, Ohio State's was tougher than Notre Dame's. And yet when you go look at the offensive and defensive efficiency rankings, Ohio State was better at both. I'm just picking the better team. And oh, by the way, you've had a couple of playmakers that have stepped up and you can utilize them on the outside. Oh, by the way, you've got two All-American running backs that have done a wonderful job splitting carries and playing two different roles. Ohio State's just a better football team, and I feel like I can prove it with the numbers now. So who you got? Text 844-326-3663. Text Irish or text Buckeyes, and let's see who the upstate is rolling with in Monday night's Natty. We'll keep talking college football and NFL divisional round as the Rob Brown Show rolls on right here on the Fan Upstate. I don't know how relevant this is to y'all, to us. I do know that it's fascinating to me. It is rare that there is somebody that I like truly, genuinely don't like. Okay, rephrase that. It's very unlikely that we come back from this. There are plenty of people I haven't liked, and then I'm like, oh, you redeemed yourself. We're good now. But it's genuinely rare that I don't like somebody without a pretty good justification. Have you guys seen this Brian Kelly stuff? Brian Kelly, now the coach at LSU, and you know what the number one trait they're looking for down in Baton Rouge is?
Family?
Family! Brian Kelly, of course, after a number of years as the head coach at Notre Dame, left Notre Dame unexpectedly and high and dry to go become the head coach at LSU. Well, Brian Kelly was asked earlier this week, are you pulling for the Irish in the national championship? And Brian Kelly said, yes, quote, I'm happy for all those guys. I pull for them. A lot of guys that are there on both sides of the ball, I recruited. Obviously, I want to see those guys win it all, and I think they're in a great position. I'm totally excited for those guys. Now, that quote, fine.
I was going to say, that sounds reasonable.
It does.
I don't know why you would dislike him over that.
I don't dislike him.
Unless you're like in certified hater mode and you think he should be too. I don't know.
Oh, with Brian Kelly, I don't stay certified, or I don't get certified hater mode. I stay certified hater mode. Because back in 2021, Brian Kelly left Notre Dame to head down to LSU. Brian Kelly, in his time with Notre Dame, 11 seasons, 2010 to 2021, led the program to the national championship game in 2012. We all remember that one. Nick Saban and his Tide ran Manti Te'o, his fake girlfriend, and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish out of the building. Notre Dame was not ready. Brian Kelly went 1-7 during his tenure at Notre Dame against AP top five teams. 1-7. 1-7. When he left Notre Dame and he got jumped, bro, WTF, dude, what are we doing here? Why are you taking off? Brian Kelly said that he was leaving because he wanted to go somewhere where he, quote, have the resources to win a national championship. He said he wanted to, quote, be in an environment where I have the resources to win a national championship. Now, I'm going to say this. Let's frame it up this way. Number one, Lonzo, do you think that Notre Dame is a school that has the resources to win a national championship?
I would have to say yes, Rob.
I would have to say yes, Lonzo. What with the whole they're playing for one tomorrow? Now, maybe you look at that and you go, ah, hang on, Rob. Hang on. When Brian Kelly was at Notre Dame, Nick Saban was at Alabama. It was a little tougher. I mean, maybe not. I don't know. What I do know is if you were Brian Kelly running the program, you were running the program. You absolutely had the resources to win a national championship at Notre Dame. Anybody does. You went 1-7 against AP top five teams. Marcus Freeman so far, since he has taken over back in 2002, Marcus Freeman, though, has played 5 AP top five teams in the last few seasons.
How's he done against those teams?
He's 3-2. As in, he has won. And I've done the math on this, and you guys know me. I'm a bad mather. I'm bad at mathing. Marcus Freeman, since taking over coming into the 2022 season, Marcus Freeman has won 300% more games against AP top five teams than Brian Kelly did, who left Notre Dame to go somewhere with the resources. Now, here's my favorite part. My favorite part is because some young intrepid reporter said, YOLO, watch this. Brian Kelly got asked after he said, oh, of course I'm pulling for Notre Dame. Some of the guys there, I recruited. I want to see them go get a natty. Go Irish. That's all well and good. Some young, intrepid reporter said, well, Brian, you left because you said Notre Dame didn't have the resources to win a national championship, yet here they are. And Brian Kelly did something that I feel so many people in positions of authority grossly do nowadays. He went ahead and said, oh, I'm being set up by the media. He said, quote, that's just the way you want to twist it. You only leave Notre Dame to go win a championship. I wasn't leaving Notre Dame because I couldn't win a championship. You can win championships at Notre Dame, but I chose another path because I wanted a different challenge. Okay, Brian. Okay, buddy. Now, don't get me wrong. I think that the SEC provides you, as college football goes, about as much in the way of resources as you can get. But, as we have talked about many times this offseason, we all know Notre Dame's independent for a reason, right? Like, this doesn't shock anybody anymore. I understand people wanting to scream that Notre Dame should have to get into a conference. Sure, why not? But we all understand why they're not, right? NBC gives them a contract that is on par with the money that SEC teams get from their contract with ESPN. And oh, by the way, just about every Notre Dame game gets shown on national television. And while that may or may not mean a lot to you, that is enormous in the recruiting world.
Actually, I think
world.
You misspoke. Every Notre Dame game.
No, when they are on the road against some conference, like some people in a conference, sometimes that conference owns the right to that games. So like if Notre Dame's at USC, the Big Ten actually owns the right to that game.
How in the world would they allow that to happen?
That's how the TV contracts work. When those teams sign up and sign their rights, that network gets first right of refusal on some of those games. So not every Notre Dame is on NBC. Every home game's on NBC. And a chunk of the road games are on NBC. Not all, but more games for Notre Dame are shown on a national television network than, say, Georgia or Bama. And in the world of recruiting, That's a big deal. That's a huge deal. The ability to put your brand into every television in America and get paid as much as Georgia and Alabama do to have, you know, three of their games broadcast nationally every year is a huge tool. And oh, by the way, Notre Dame is going to get the same payout for their run to the national championship from the college football playoffs as Ohio State does. Do you know what the difference is? Ohio State's payout goes into the conference coffers and gets split up. Do you know where Notre Dame's payout goes to? Notre Dame.
Does that really matter, though?
I don't know, man. Do you think upwards of $20 million helps or hurts your program? I would say $20 million helps you no matter who you are.
Considering the two programs, I mean, yay, Notre Dame gets to use all their money and Ohio State has to split it.
Right. Yes. That's a huge benefit to Notre Dame.
All right, I could say good luck with your consolation prize.
I mean, again, winning the national championship will probably bring more attention, what with the rich get richer phenomenon. Winning the Natty is certainly going to bring more attention to the football program than whatever you're going to do with $20 million versus what Ohio State will get, which will be like seven of that $20 million, all right? However, if Notre Dame beats Ohio State, they get a Natty and the whole $20-plus million. So, yes, it's a big-time benefit. If anything, I would make the argument to Brian Kelly, it should theoretically be easier to win a Natty at Notre Dame than it is at Ohio State or LSU or anywhere else. Why? You get the same television revenue payout, but all of your games are on a national primetime spot every week. You get more money that is dedicated solely to you, and Notre Dame has 100% control of their schedule from week 1 to week 14. They are one of a very small number of college football teams who have 100% control of their schedule. They can orchestrate it however they want to. And if that's the case, then everything Brian Kelly just said is dumb and bad. Like, I don't know if this guy's actively going out of his way to look like a clown, but he looks like a clown. Well, I came to LSU to be in an environment to win natties. Dude, it was a better environment to win natties at Notre Dame. You're just bad at this.
Why is he being interviewed anyway?
Because he was the former Notre Dame coach who left them on a sour note.
Why need to say, nah, I'm not taking any interviews. I'm no longer with that team. I'm with this team.
Well, I don't know the answer to that. I'm going to start with probably because he's kind of a moron. But that's just me. I could be.
I mean, if you know the kind of questions they're going to ask, and it's specifically about the team you used to work for, say, I've moved on from that part of my life. I'm now with LSU. Thank you for offering to interview me on it, but I decline.
You and I had a conversation not terribly long ago. I had this with Lee Rogers from Brother Station WORD the other day, too. There is one school in our area that has made it impossible for us to interview their coaches. Okay? And I don't think it's a secret what school I'm talking about. No need to call it out. There's one school in the area that has made it impossible. Nope, stop it. One school in the area that's made it impossible for us to interview their coaches. They just don't say yes, okay? And I told them, I was talking to Lee about an interaction I had with that school not too long ago, and he goes, that's real dumb. Why would you not? That's why. Because if you're a college coach, even if you're going to get grilled, being on a TV camera and a mic does what? It beams you into the homes of college recruits and gets you up in notoriety. At the end of the day, even if you're being attacked relentlessly, being in front of a camera and a microphone is always
all right,
good.
Who was the ACC coach at ACC Media Days who refused to be on the show because it's in the same area as
that would be Florida State's Mike Norvell.
Okay. So, I mean, you know,
there's also a big difference between I'm not going to do an interview on, and I don't mean to denigrate us, but there's a difference between I'm not going to be on an interview with a station in Greenville, South Carolina versus I'm going to say no to the SEC network or the ACC network or ESPN or Fox Sports or one of the big dogs. We're not a big dog. We're the big dog in our hood, but we ain't a big dog in the grand scheme of things. Brian Kelly's never going to say no to him. If nothing else, I think Brian Kelly just likes hearing himself talk. as much as anything else. It's a pub thing. He knew he was going to get grilled, but then he just went and said something dumb anyway, which is incredible. All right, 844-326-3663, 844-FAN-FONA. Who do you have in Monday Night's Natty? Text Irish or text Buckeyes? And at the end of the show, we'll tell you who the Upstate believes is winning the 2025 Natty after the national championship winner of sports flashes, Lonzo.
Yeah, I've moved on. I'm now the world champ. The South Carolina women's basketball team knocked off another top 20 team with a 76-68 road win over number 19 Alabama last night. The Gamecocks' two leading scorers both came off the bench with Joyce Edwards scoring 21 and 16 from Malaysia Fawali. The Gamecocks are now 17-1 and 5-0 in conference as they look to regain their number one overall national ranking. Alex Ovechkin's march to history continued last night as the Washington Capitals star broke the mark for most goalkeepers scored on when he scored the only goal in a 1-0 overtime win against Ottawa and against Levi Maradayan, the 179th keeper beat by Ovechkin. Ovechkin has scored 21 goals this season despite missing 16 games with a broken leg. Tune in tomorrow at 4:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Chattanooga Mocs right here on the Fan Upstate.